Oh, Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the privilege of having a family, a church family. And that in times of fear, anxiety, problems, trials, we can come and be together. We can feel more secure that way, Lord. Even though recently some people have said to me, look, when we start our service, can we lock the door? And how sad it is that that's the state of affairs today. For anything can happen. And so, Lord, I want you to use me to make sense out of this. You use that text. Then you talked to me and gave me an idea. And I just wanted to bring comfort to everyone here. And so, use me, Lord, so that when we leave, we will have more to be thankful for than we did when we came. So have control now, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know who that is on the screen there? What is it? Come on. You know how to pronounce his name? I had to go on the internet. His first name is XI. That's Xi. At least that's what the internet told me. Xi Jinping is the president of China, the massive country of China. The name China brings some fear into our hearts, almost in a sense, because they're a big competitor of ours. You know, they're vying to be the financial center of the world. They are also, moving into the South China Sea and trying to take that over. And some of our allies are feeling very uncomfortable. Well, guess who now is joining the battle against ISIS? Believe it or not, for just a couple days ago, two men were executed by the Islamic State, and one of them was Chinese. And here's what she said. China strongly condemns the brutal murder of a Chinese national by the Islamic State. She said, according to official Chinese Central Television, I express my deep condolences to the family of the victims. Terrorism is a common enemy of humanity. China resolutely opposes terrorism in any form and resolutely fights against violence, terrorists, criminal activities that challenge the bottom line of human civilization. And then the article said, the executions show the increasingly global impact of violence by the Islamic State and its affiliates as leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi looks to incite a clash of civilizations. Attacks that killed scores in Paris and Beirut days after a bombing brought down the Russian jetliner and killed 224 people. Folks, there are people scared, wondering, where do they fit into prophecy? And so today we're going to look at the real truth behind the attack on France. Take a look at this map first and foremost. And these are all the attacks that have occurred recently. They're named, located, and dated. And you can see how it's spreading out. And so we want to answer some of these difficult questions at this difficult time. By the way, first of all, our hearts go out to the people of France, the people of Beirut, the families of these people that are being executed. If you go on the internet and look at some of the news services, you'll find people are being executed that we don't even hear about on the news. Christians. And so I want to bring some comfort to you. God wants to bring some comfort, answer some questions. They may not be the answer you want, but I'll tell you, God's still in control. We have to trust Him. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark, the 5th chapter. Let's start there, and we're going to have to move along here, because I got to get... I'm hungry. That's not what it was. I gotta make sure that I don't take too long, but that I don't take too short, because we've got some beautiful scriptures and quotes. You have it, children, open your Bibles. I want you to hear this story that is found in Mark 5, which you're very familiar with. In fact, you might be able to look at that picture there, and you might right away know this story. We're going to look at that demon-possessed man who was healed. Starting with verse number 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." By the way, I don't want to yell into the microphone, but I want to illustrate something. When you're demon-possessed, no matter what you may want to say, what comes out of you is what's allowed. But they always did it with a loud voice, because everything they did agitated everybody, because they were agitated. In fact, I love The Desire of Ages. Read that book, and you will find the disciples took one look at that man and headed back for the boat, and Jesus stood his ground. Jesus stood his ground. What a Savior we have, folks. What comfort. When Jesus saw him afar, verse 8, for he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them into the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine there, about 2,000. And the herds ran violently down the steep place into the sea to drown in the sea. So those who fed the swines fled, and they told it to the city in the country, and they went out to see what was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told him, now it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Wow. You know, there's so much here, but I got to keep it. I got to stay focused so I can get to the point today. What an incredible story. So let's take a look at the elements real quick. Number one, Jesus recognized the direct presence and agency of what? All right, that's number one. Read the story. There it is. Number two, my name is Legion, for we are many. Number three, Jesus had full, what? Command of the demons. Number four, the pigs ran into the sea. Number five, the owners blamed Jesus. Man, this is so typical of society today. These points. This is incredible. Neri, focus. Okay, I'm focusing. And the last one, six. The disciples, Jesus wanted the disciples to see the power and the cruelty of Satan to both men and beasts. In the Great Controversy 5:13, a striking example of their number, their power, and their malignity, and also the power and mercy of Christ, is given in the scripture account of the healing of the demonic Gadara. There it is. Put this in your head. How fitting this is when we are shocked and horrified by the senseless and diabolical murdering of innocent people. And by the way, folks, I want you to know that one thing. When France happened, it dawned on my head, we are a long way from 9/11. We're desensitized again already. You wait, because they're targeting Washington. And so you see that Satan has incredible power, and his desire is to do violence both to men and to beasts. And this story in the Bible is highlighted in the great controversy in the chapter called Agencies of Evil Spirits, so that we people will be informed of who's really behind these attacks. Now, for those of you who are politically connected and very intellectually minded and philosophically unchallenged like me, you're going to be disappointed with this sermon. Because I'm not going to pull some gigantic, beautiful principle out that no one ever heard of before. In fact, when we get to the end, you may be wholly disappointed. It is Satan who is behind these plots for a reason. And when we read the story of the demonics, we see this. So the question we have today, and we want answer, how did we get into this mess? How did we get into this mess? For that, I want to first turn to Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to give you 3 points in a row here, how we got into this mess. You'll see how it all fits together. And then we will conclude with obviously knowing who's behind this and why. Hey, Revelation 13, 11 through 14, the minute we say Revelation 13, your mind goes directly to the beast and to the image. If you do not know these prophecies, you need to talk to me, Pastor Need, or the elders. We study these periodically so people will know. And part of the problem with the fear that's pervading our society is they do not know prophecy. Look what it says in verse 11 of chapter 13. In verse 11, we're now talking about the image to the beast, not the beast. And look what it says about the image. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth and having 2 horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. He exercised the authority of the first beast. There's the first beast in Revelation 13. In His presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. Folks, the purpose of the second beast is to make sure everybody worships the first beast. And we're going to see how this ties in with ISIS. It's incredible. He performed great signs so that He even made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Okay? And He deceived those who dwelled on the earth by those signs which He had granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make the image to the beast who was wounded by the deadly sword and lived. You don't know that was wounded, deadly sword, and lived? You need to study with us. Let's look at the next one. 16:13 through 14. Here we are at the sixth plague of the seventh last plague. And notice what it says in verse 13. Then I saw three unclean spirit-like frogs coming out of the mouth of the beast. Of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of the Lord Almighty. Okay, to worship the first beast and to gather them together. By the way, in the Greek, that gather them together means unite them. Unite them. And you know, unite them for the purpose that they worship the first beast. Okay? And now we look at Mark 7. You know, I don't think that's supposed to be there. Is it? There's one way to find out. Are we supposed to look at Mark 7? I can't even recall that. 7... Oh, wait. That's on my paper, not your paper. Forget that. 19:20. Three times in the book of Revelation. 19:20 is when the white horse, the second coming of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at verse 20 says, then the beast was captured with him, the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and whose worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, a burning brimstone. Cast in the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. So, make everybody worship the first beast. Call them all to unite for Armageddon. And they work these miracles for that purpose. Take a look at this quote. Oh, there was a quote. I forgot. Satan is making the world believe that the Bible is a mere fiction and at least a book suited to the infancy of the race. But now, to be lightly regarded or cast aside is obsolete. Let me pull this together so we can see the relationship here. I made from this pulpit a statement I believe to be true as best as I know. I mean, as far as the dates, I'll bet at least two generations, maybe three generations of our young people have gone to college where they were told the Bible is fantasy. Where they were told if you're a Christian, you're stupid. That if you believe the Bible, you're a fanatic. And you see, Satan is doing this for a reason. to bring us to the point we are at now, where even Christian people don't know what the Bible says. And therefore, the inhibitions are gone. Don't forget the element that we're well aware of in end time events in which the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn. If you lose the Holy Spirit, how do you act? By the way, if you think ISIS is terrible, you need to study Auschwitz. You know, I said, thank you, Lord. He gave me that idea. I've been to Auschwitz. I will never forget the emotional impact it had on me just seeing brick and mortar and some displays of suitcases, glasses. The suitcases had names on them. And I realized that they were just as bad as ISIS was or is. This is not new. It's just that they are so bold and arrogant about it. And they're going to work miracles, folks. In fact, I think we should be more frightened of those miracles than of their violence. In the meantime, Satan has made it so all of society is laughing at the Bible. By the way, United States has its problems. Religious United States, Christian United States. But when you go to Europe, the churches, folks, are empty. In all the Western civilized continents, nations, the churches are empty. We're holding on, but by the skin of our teeth or by offering the people entertainment venue for worship service. Number two, Judges 4:8. Take a look at Judges 4:8. Here's this text fascinates me. Judges 4:8. You're saying, what's going on? What is this ISIS? Look what Judges 4:8 says. Oh no, that is not the text. Wait, am I in Judges? Yes. Am I in 4? Yes. Mine says Deborah. Oh, my favorite text. Okay, it's 5:8. I just wanted to see if you're awake. Take a look at 5:8 and see if this doesn't impact you. 5:8. The author of Judges is telling us about the Israelite experience. Here's what it says. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. That's it. Do you get it? When you choose other gods, war will result in your hometown, right at the gate. The gate was where all the judgment was done, and people, when it came in and out, you know, you read the elders sit at the gate. When you choose a new God, war. And this world has chosen another God. Take a look at Psalms 119, 126. And this will nail it down all the more. This is where Seventh-day Adventists come in. Not as a prideful thing, but a humble thing. You have 119, 126. Look what it says. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Why? Why? For they have regarded your law as void. And look what Great Controversy says. Many ministers are teaching their people, and many professors and teachers are instructing their students that the law of God has been changed or obliterated, you know, nailed to the cross. And those who regard it as requirements, as still valid, to be literally obeyed, are thought to be deserving only of ridicule and contempt. We are in this position because even Christians have rejected the law of God. In fact, I'll tell you what dawned on me a long time ago in my ministry that I marveled at, meaning probably a billion other pastors had the thought, but this was personal to me since I had never heard it. You know, the Christians are the one that clamor for the stopping of abortion. And from my understanding, the only law opposed to abortion, original law, is in the Ten Commandments. And they declare them nailed to the cross. What's the big deal then about abortion? Tell me. I'm serious. No conscience whatsoever. Why? We don't have the standard. We've obliterated it. Now we've taken the Bible, we set it aside. We've taken the law, get it out of the way. That's how we got into this mess. And Satan is behind all of this. Number three. Matthew 24, 4 through 6. Actually, you should all recite this from memory. Matthew 24, well, at least verse 6. Ready? And Jesus answered and said them. Okay, now Jesus is answering the disciples' question. Notice the very first thing Jesus tells them. Take heed that no one deceive you. And in point number one, we saw three texts from the book of Revelation telling us miracles are going to be performed in order to fool the whole world. And what does he start out with in Matthew 24? Don't be deceived. And then he says this, for many will come in my name, saying, I am in the Christ, and deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Satan delights in war, for it exercises the worst passion of the soul and then sweeps into eternity its victims steeped in vice and blood. It is his object to incite the nations to war against one another, for he can thus divert the mind of the people from what? Doing the work of preparation for his second coming. And so ISIS is the creation of Satan. The health message is the right arm of the Seventh-day Adventist Church gospel, the three angels' messages, and the right arm of ISIS, of Satan, is ISIS. They're a pawn, folks. And no, you won't find them in the book of Daniel, except where it says there'll be wars. You won't find them in the book of Revelation. I'm not changing my hermeneutical principles of interpretation because this horrendous group of individuals are creating carnage all around, because our enemy is, first of all, Satan and the beast and the image and the false prophet. And by the way, if you don't know who those three are, you got to study with us. You got to come and say, Pastor, study with us and tell me who is the beast, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. And by the way, oh, forget it. There's why war. And you know, many of the soldiers went out on the battlefield, and when they face ISIS, they're scared to death and they run. Because they have no conscience. And folks, they have no conscience because it's been hammered in their head that their religion, that if you're martyred or killed, you're rewarded. How did we get in this mess? They took the Bible and they put it aside. They took the law and they put... The Christians took the law and put it aside. It's been nailed to the cross. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Oh, do you commit adultery? No. Why not? Well... In other words, what you're saying to me is this one, number four, is a problem because it interrupts my life. That's why the great controversy written years and years ago said they either set aside one principle or the whole thing. But in any case, they're rejecting the law, right? James said, if you reject in one point, you're guilty of all. And so... God never forces the will or the conscience, but Satan constantly resorts to compulsion by what? Cruelty. Publicly cutting off the heads of people, putting it on the internet to scare everybody out of their pants. Through fear or force, Satan endeavors to rule the conscience and secure homage to himself, to accomplish this, he works through both religious and secular authorities, moving them to enforcement of human laws in defiance of the laws of God. Is that happening now? By the way, I got this. This is poor to pass on to you, but... my friend was talking to me last night and told me that in France, the premier said that the prime minister said, or president said, that we're going to have to start limiting people's freedoms because they're all scared over there. It's going to happen again. And that's what the great controversy said would happen. It's going to happen here, too. Well, take a look at this. So where does ISIS fit in? Number one, they're creating confusion, they're creating fear, and they're creating desperation. Am I right? And why are they doing that, folks? So that the world clamors for a one world leader. And you know who that leader is. You know who that leader is, folks. Let's hammer it away. Daniel 7, it's the little horn. Daniel 11, it's the king of the north. Daniel 13, it is the beast in the image. And Daniel 16, it is the one in which the frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And basically, all of them are the same person, organization, and it is an ISIS, folks. It is an ISIS. They are an arm, the right arm of Satan, because they are so hideous and so evil to put fear and confusion and desperation in our hearts. So that someone has to rise to the occasion and lead the world on. And then Seventh-day Adventists will be called fanatics, extremists. Our view on homosexuality puts us over here, folks. And we're going to be called all the things that we think ISIS is. Are you ready for that? Why did we start in Mark? We started in Mark because God has control over, command over the demons. Amen? He has command over the demons. Job 1, 7 through 10. Anybody know what that says? Job 1, come on, 10. What does it say? Huh? Nobody. Come on. This says Satan came to the meeting and God said, where have you been? Oh, I've been all over the place. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Have you tried my servant Job? Are you kidding me? How in the world can I try your servant Job when you put a hedge around him? When you protect everything he has. Okay, I'll remove that protection. You go after him. I'll show you what Job's made of. And then you and I need to read that and prepare for these last days because he didn't give in. But folks, Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who love him, and he delivers them. No matter how evil, wicked, low-down, crummy, rotten ISIS is. Look at that. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? And I read this last night, and I said, Lord, I wonder if the parents in my church every morning before their children leave are praying it with them out loud and saying, Lord, put a hedge around my child. And then if you're a grandparent, you got to do it in your house for your child way over there and your grandchildren. It's the same powerful prayer. And the angel of the Lord will encamp around those who love him and deliver him. It is because he has masked himself, Satan, with consummate skills that the question is so widely asked, does such a being really exist? It is an evidence of his success that theories giving the lie to the plainest testimonies of Scripture are so generally received in the religious world. And it is because Satan can most readily control the minds of those who are unconscious of his influence that the Word of God gives us so many examples of his malignant work. Here we go, folks. Unveiling before us his what? His secret forces. ISIS. His secret forces. And the Bible reveals it. So what do? We take the Bible and we go... Because we don't want them to know about the secret forces. And thus placing us on guard against his assaults. Wow. Well, I don't know. I'm done. But I must say this. Immediately after the Paris attacks on November 13, 2015, allegedly from the same terror group, resulting in at least 128 deaths and counting, as could be expected, Pope Francis, a moral authority and highly esteemed man of peace, did not wait long to weigh in on the issue. A Brit Bright news headline read, after Paris, Pope Francis tells Christians to be ready for the end of the world. And who should be more ready for the end of the world than a Seventh-day Adventist? Who does not take their Bible and go, phew, who does not take the Ten Commandments and go, and so, my friends, there's a hedge about you. And God will take care of you. He'll take care of me. Our job is to pray for those people who are suffering, and to find people that we can share this with so they can have the same comfort we have. That's why we're here. We are not here to feel good about each other and glory in our beautiful church. We're here to try to get people to enjoy it with us. Father, I want to thank you for the information that you have shared through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy that speak of the times in which we live in a way that just amazes us since it was written back in the late 1800s. And Lord, I ask that you bless every person here, that they do not leave before they make some sort of decision with you what they should do about this. Maybe spend more time in their Bible. Maybe pray longer. Maybe help somebody out. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. Things that affect me bad and keep me from you. Whatever it may be, Lord, you talk to each one of us, including me. I want to hear what I have to hear, Lord, because I want to go down. If I'm going to go down in a terrorist attack, let me be giving a Bible study when it happens. So blessed to this end, and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.